John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. If you was with us this past Wednesday night, we shared a message out of 1 John chapter number 5. And this morning, we're going to try to continue in those thoughts and continue with what the Lord has laid on our heart. 1 John chapter number 5. We've been in Ephesians for quite some time. And we've preached out of Ephesians chapter number 3, preached on the subject. He has, he's able, he can, he will. Wednesday night, we came into 1 John chapter number 5, and we looked at a portion of Scripture here that we're going to try to share with you this morning. But I'll say this to you. A lot of times, we don't understand why something has went the way it has. And a lot of times, we'll say, "Preacher, I've been praying about this a long time. If God loved me, how come he hadn't answered me?" And I'll say this. We struggle sometimes with the answer that God gives us. Sometimes we struggle with those things that we pray about something and we've sought something, but we think that's what we really want, but God won't give it to us. And I'll say this, God's will is not our will. The book of Isaiah said God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, for his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I'll say this to you, God knows best. And I'll trust God, and I'll take with what God says. And I'll say, I can't understand, listen, I'll say this, I can't understand why some of our families have been afflicted, have been touched by what they have, but what I can say is God knows what we need. And God will never put more on us than we're able to bear. And God will never put more in our life than we can't handle. I'm thankful. I listen to me. I'm thankful when I can't carry the load. He's a God that's still able to carry the load. Amen? 1 John chapter 5, if you found your place, you're physically able. I would ask you to stand for the reading and reverence of the Word of God. 1 John chapter number 5. We're going to read verses number 11 through verse number 15 this morning. For the sake of time and for the context of the message, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written to you, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him." Aren't you glad you can have some confidence?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says not to put confidence in man. And I'll say this, I love my dad. But I can only put so much confidence in him because he is flesh. And Brother Jeff, he will fail me, and he's not always right. And I'll say this, I may be your pastor. You may trust me, you may believe in me, but I'll say this, I'm still flesh. And I'm going to let you down, and I'm going to fail you. And I'm going to make some bad decisions, and I'm not always going to do what's right. But I say this, I can put confidence in God that he'll never fail me. And I can trust and believe that God is always going to be right. And that everything that he does is perfect. The Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." May be seated this morning. As we came into 1 John chapter number 5, we see that John is writing to give us some clarity and some understanding. And I'll say this to you this morning, I don't know what tomorrow holds, and I don't know what a year from now holds, but what I am certain of this morning is that if I was to die on this side of glory, that I know I have eternal life. Preacher, how do you know that you have eternal life? The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he is born of God." Now, I'll say this to you that John tells us in chapter 5 and verse number 13 that we can know that we have eternal life. This is not a hope-so salvation. This is not a maybe-so salvation. This is not, well, maybe I'll make it on good things. But I understand that if I believe on the Son of God, that I will and I can have confidence that there is eternal life. I'm glad that when Jesus said us, there we may be also. I'm glad I have confidence, listen, that there is, Brother Chuck, a life better than this, that there is a hope through eternity, that I can believe that I can trust in that I've got eternal life. I know that this morning, but some of the questions that we deal with on a daily basis is, preacher, I've been praying about something for years upon years. You've told me that God's did great things. You tell me that God's able to do great things. You tell me He can do great things. And you tell me He will do great things. And preacher, I've been praying about this a long time. And preacher, I've been seeking God for a long time. And it sure doesn't seem like God is answering my prayers. And I say this to you this morning. We have the confidence that God hears us. Amen. Aren't you glad to know this morning that your prayers don't go unheard? Listen to me. I'm glad this morning that I don't got to talk to a man in a box. I'm glad this morning I've not got to talk to a preacher and try to pray and hope that God will hear this man. But I'm glad this morning that I can come boldly to the throne of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and I can come in confidence and talk to God. This morning. I'm glad to report to you this morning, the Bible says in verse number 15, and if we know that He hears us, if we know that this morning, we know that whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now some of us this morning say, preacher, I've been praying about this, and you're telling me God's heard me. And preacher, it just not seems like God has answered me. I'll say this to you this morning. God has answered every single one of us. And I'll say this to you this morning. God doesn't have to owe us one thing. God doesn't have to answer a prayer for us. If all God had done was save my soul from a devil's hell, that did more than I ever deserved. If all God done was give me eternal life, Brother Junior, He don't have to answer a prayer. He doesn't have to give me anything else. He's done give me more than I deserve this morning. I'm glad to look at this morning and understand this. We went through this Wednesday night. We got to understand what we are asking. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean? Preacher, I've been praying for $1 million for a long time. And preacher, I go down to the store every time the lottery numbers go up. And preacher, I've been buying that scratch off. I'm trying to preach. Listen to me. You done messed up right there, friend. Preacher, I've been praying that God's going to give me some financial gains because it seems like I've got all these bills. Preacher, you don't understand. I've got a car payment. I got a house payment. I got a boat payment. I got a four-wheeler payment. Listen to me. You're the dummy that signed the papers this morning. Amen. But preacher, God only has those things. Listen to me. We've got to understand that God's will and man's will are entirely separate this morning.
Amen.
I'll say this to you. I said it Wednesday night. Listen to me. I sure am blessed this morning. I may not have $5,000 in the bank account, but honey, I'm telling you, I've got a house that the lights turn on. I've got a house where water runs out to spigot. Honey, I've got a place, Brother Junior. I can walk in and feel the warmth. I'm out of the cold. I've got roof over my head, and the water's not running down my back. Honey, I'm blessed this morning. You say, preacher, I'm going to eat steak every day. I'm thankful I got food in the pantry. I'm thankful I got food in the refrigerator. Honey, I'm telling you, it may not be a flame in God, but honey, I'm blessed this morning. You say, well, preacher, I feel like God wants me to have these things. And preacher, I'm trying to get ahead. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. It's not God's will that you go so in debt. Listen, now I'm going to say this to you. And Jeff, I'm not picking on you, honey, this morning. Sometimes things are made mandatory in our life, but there are those people that get so far in debt, listen to me, that they force themselves to work on Saturdays and Sundays to get overtime to try to stay ahead. I'll say this to you. That's not God's will for a believer this morning. Preacher, but I want that. Listen to me. I'm telling you, our wants get us in trouble sometimes. I'm going to tell you this morning, listen to me. I would want Muhammad had the stamina to run 1,000 people. But I'm going to tell you this, that'd be more than I can chew right now. I do good keeping up with the 100 and some that we got. I don't need 1,000, Brother Junior. I'd be killing squirrels every day. You say, why is that? Because I worry myself to death. You see, this morning, what we want and what we need is entirely separate. You see, the Bible says that he'll supply all our need according to his riches and glory. You see, this morning, we think that God is our puppet. And we say, well, I ask God for this, and I believe God will grant it. And I'll say this to you this morning. There's a lot of things I've asked God for, Brother O.J., and God's given it to me. It's kind of like this. I've seen kids, and I've been one of those children that went to my mom and daddy, and I asked for something, and they said no. And I went back, and I asked again, Brother Chuck, and he said no. And I went back, and I kept asking, and I'm bugging him. Boy, I really wanted it. And after I got it, I really didn't want it. Anybody ever done that? Anybody this morning ever asked for something so much that you finally got it and it really wasn't what you wanted? Amen. And I thought of our Baptist folks this morning. We ask God for this. We ask God for that. God may have told us no, Daddy, 1,000 times. But we keep going back to that throne room and we're aggravating. And boy, we're tormenting and God doesn't say no. But finally, God will say, all right, if that's what you want. Listen, how many parents this morning have you ever looked at your kids and you said, if that's what you want, you can have it? Anybody ever done that? Leave me alone. If that's what you want, have it. I'll say this to you. Then guess what? They really don't want it.
Right.
We've asked God for some things. We pray for a job. Listen to me. We pray for a job. Only weeks later, we complain about the job he gives us. We pray for a house. Only a few years later we complain because we see something better. We pray for an automobile, but only a few years later we complain because the newer model has something else. We pray that God will fill this or give us that, but only a few days later we complain because something is better. I'll say this to you this morning. God help us. God help us to be thankful for what God has done. I want you to notice this morning, I'm going to give you three things and we're going to go to the house. I want you to notice this morning what we are asking for. What we're asking for. Do you realize this morning some of the things that we pray for them that it'll bring us glory. Amen. I'll never forget. And I will experience this one day, and I'm glad you brought Jason with you this morning. Jason, I'm sure, has experienced it. When you buy a new vehicle, boy, you're all excited about it. Is this right, Brother Paul? Boy, you're all excited about your new vehicle. And the first time you drive it to church, everybody wants to look at your new vehicle. Amen. Y'all all right this morning? You go to the job, and everybody wants to look at your new vehicle. Boy, they're all excited about it. But you know what, about 4 or 5 years later, when you're still making payments on that vehicle, you're not as excited about it as you was the first time. And boy, you dragged that thing out. You beat it to death. It's got dents and scratches in it. And you're not as excited, and people aren't as excited about your vehicle anymore. But guess what? You still got to pay for it. Amen. You still got to pay for it. You say, preacher, where is this door? We've got to understand what we're asking for. You see, this morning, when we ask to be saved, and we said, God, I know you gave your life for mine, and to save me, I'll give you back my life. Listen to me. I'm telling you something. For God to save me, listen, I deserve to give him my whole life. 4 or 5 years later, even though I got saved, it is still my duty, Brother Junior, to give God my life daily. What the new mayor of Belfort, I will say this. I'm still thankful that I'm not going to hell. And I'll say this. I'll never get over the Lord. say this to you. What are we asking for? Are we asking for something that will bring us glory? Are we asking for something that will bring us enjoyment? I want you to notice this. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 11 and verses 9 through 13, in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, it says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." You say, "Well, preacher, I've been asking and I've been seeking and I've been knocking, but it doesn't seem like God's given me an answer." You know what a lot of our issue is God's told us no.
Right.
God said no. And we just keep learning. God could have said no to those people, but we keep asking. Do you realize this morning that God has knows what you have need of before you ever ask? Do you realize that? The Bible teaches us in James chapter 1 and verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, preacher, why didn't God give me this? Or I like this one. Preacher, why doesn't God give me more knowledge? Let me ask you something. When's the last time you opened the book up and read it? Preacher, when will God show me something and give me some knowledge in my life? When's the last time, other than on a Sunday morning, that you went home and opened that Bible up and sat down and read and said, "God, that feed me the bread of life. God, give me something that I can hang on to. God, I don't want the meal. Lord, I want the meat. God, I want to feel your presence. And God, I want to know more." Listen to me. God will feed us when we eat. I found out last night we went to Mama's, and Miss Evelyn, I was picking with her in between the singing and the youth message this morning. I was picking with her, and she asked me, I showed her a little video of Brooklyn eating squirrel. Now, knock it over last night. Some of you say, "Oh, preacher, I ain't eating squirrel." You get hungry enough, you will. And Mama had pressured to cook them squirrels, and Daddy and I went yesterday morning, and Daddy, I was supposed to meet Daddy at the cafe at 6:30 yesterday morning. And when I woke up at 8:40, Brother Bill, there wasn't no sense going to the cafe. And I had some text messages at 6:24 that said, "Are you up? What do you want to drink?" I don't think I should have responded and said, "Coke, do you?" At 8:40 when I woke up, I done realized I done missed breakfast. And more than that, I done missed the squirrel hunting trip. And so I started texting Daddy, and he said it's okay. There was a reason, and me and Daddy know that reason, that God let me oversleep yesterday morning. And that's one of them things that me and Daddy's going to keep to ourselves, but God had better intentions for me time I let me oversleep and not hear my alarm. And I truly believe the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen to me. I had two alarms at the foot of the bed. I had six set on my phone. And neither me nor my wife has heard either one. You say, "Well, how?" That ain't a doubt in my mind. The Holy Spirit came into our bedroom yesterday morning and put fingers in my ears that I didn't hear. There's something that happened that me and Dad knows and God knows that I was not supposed to be a part of, and that I was not supposed to be there. God had better intentions. You say, "Well, what did you do?" I got in the truck and I went over to Mom and Daddy's, and I was going to make up for it. But God knew there was a reason. And so we got over to Mom and Daddy's, and I got out of the truck and I started walking down through the driveway of Brother Bill, and Daddy poked his head out the door and looked at me. Shut it back. He didn't say, "Good morning, how are you," or nothing. And, I went in the shut room, and Mama's still in the bed. It's 9:30. Mama's still in the bed. And I went in, and I started apologizing to Daddy. Daddy still had his pajamas on. And he had the heater on. I said, "Daddy, I'm sorry." He said, "It's okay." He said, "You don't understand." And we went on to talk. And I said, "Well, Daddy," I said, "I told Brooklyn. Brooklyn knew she was going to eat squirrel. She'd been talking about it. And I had promised her that we was going to Gigi's on Saturday night. Gigi was going to fish squirrel." And Daddy said, "Look, we'll go down and we'll buy some chicken gizzards and chicken necks." And he said, "We'll stew them up and pull them apart, make stew." And said, "It's dark meat. Nobody will know the difference." That didn't kill a squirrel. I said, I'm going to go across the road here, and I have my little 22 in the truck. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm getting ready to be 32 years old, and I had never killed a squirrel with a 22 rifle. I hung with a shotgun. I mean, all you got to do is point at the general vicinity of that little booger. Pow! It's over. And I said, I'm going to take this 22. I bought it a couple years ago, and Daddy bought him one of them high-fired pellet rifles. He bought it 2 years ago. He's going to kill a squirrel with it. I ain't killed a squirrel with it. And I went across the road. I was walking down through there, and I thought, hey, it's moving. It's kind of sprinkling rain. And I got back over there in the woods, and Bud Junior, I seen two of them. And I was being real quiet. I sat around, and I stuck John around beside the tree, and sure enough, that little booger jumped back. And I squeezed the trigger, and he fell right off the log. I said, all right. And I sat there, and I waited on that sapling, and Jason, I didn't see that sapling. But when I squeezed the trigger, I don't know if I scared the other away, or if the six deer that stood up around me and took off the run and scared me, and scared them too, and it got gone. And I hunted for that squirrel, and I got him. I sat over on the edge of the deer stand. I squirrel hunt real. I find somebody's deer feeder, and I sit down near it. I'm a real squirrel hunter. And I said, man, we got to have more than one squirrel. There's four of us and a little one. It's going to eat squirrel. And this one little old squirrel, he ain't going to last. And I started walking back out through there. And I found, listen to me, YouTube's good. You can call anything off of YouTube. Did y'all know that? And I started playing something. And I had another one start talking to me. And got looking, he was sitting up there in a holly tree. And Scott, I laid that 22 up there and shot. He ran up the other side of the tree. And finally, I hit him right behind the shoulder. He fell out. I thought, man, we're on two. And I was texting Daddy. And Daddy said, well, I seen three. And I'm thinking, man, why ain't you shot him? He said, they all went by me toward the house. So I said, well, I'll walk around and I'll start pushing them down here. And so I went across the road. And sure enough, I hadn't been down there very far. There was one sitting on a tree and flipping at me in. And so I chow, fell out of the tree. And then we walked a little further. There's another. Jason, I said, it's sitting on a tree. So I shoot it and it falls out. About that time, old man hollers goes, hey! Man, he doesn't let this squirrel go all over him. He ain't killed it yet. He said, what happened? He said, man, we got four. I said, you're right. We got four. And I started thanking the Lord, and I got to look. Daddy didn't have one. Went on this hunting trip. Daddy ain't got one. I said, Daddy, we got to get one more. He said, oh, it's okay. I said, look, you carried that gun for 2 years, and you ain't killed a squirrel with it yet. We're going to get you a squirrel. And we went down there in the woods, and I said, listen, I'm going to go over here and walk through the thicket. And surely I'll run something up in a tree, and you shoot it. And I said, and we'll get you a squirrel. Well, that'll be five. That'll be a 20. Brother Junior, I went walking through that thicket. I ain't seen nothing. I ain't picked nothing up. There ain't been a rabbit time. There ain't nothing. And we get walking across the bottom, and tied right over there under his deer stand sits a big old gray squirrel. And that squirrel, I said, where'd it go? He said, it run up under my deer stand. Now, how kind of hunter is that? The squirrel's getting in your deer stand, and you can't get them out. And finally, he shoots out on the side of a tree, and I thought, man, this is Daddy's opportunity to get him a squirrel. And he's over there looking at that tree, and I come across the creek, across the pasture. I get up there, and I'm looking up that tree, and I ain't seen that squirrel yet, so I just flare back and kick it. When I did, that squirrel had flattened out on the side of that tree where you couldn't see him in the fall. And I said, there he is. He run up the tree. And I said, shoot him, Daddy. And Daddy lays that pelt rifle up there. Pshaw, sure enough, that thing falls out. He said, where'd I hit it? I said, you hit it in the head. He said, that was luck. I said, nope, that was skill. You said, preacher, what happened? We threw the guns over our shoulders. We went to the house. Skipped his squirrel. But Mama, I give them things to Mama. These were the good squirrels, Scott. You didn't have to take a bite and roll it around and spit the shot out. I mean, that was good. The head didn't shot. We took them and stewed them, give them to Mama, and Mama stewed them up. Brother Odin, I watched Anna. Anna didn't complain one bit. She didn't walk in there and say, where's my piece of chicken? She didn't walk in there and say, where's my steak? She got her two of them little hands off that squirrel in the back. Mama and Daddy made squirrel gravy like chicken stew. Brooklyn sat down. She doesn't eat a hot dog at cookout, and then a pop. But I got him. I said, Brooklyn, you going to eat some squirrel? Squirrel, good. Young man never even been a squirrel in her life. We sat down at the table, and we said, first of all, you saying that? I've got something to tell you. That little youngins are eating just as hard as she can go, they said. She's just a wind in an end. The fastest Anna pulled off of that squirrel, and Aunt Brooklyn was just an eater. And Paul looked at Brooklyn and said, "You want some squirrel stew?" He said, "It's like chicken stew." She said, "I believe I will." She was sitting there eating that. She looked up. My mama was watching her. I had quit eating. Daddy was watching her. Anna was a pulling squirrel. And we looked up to Brooklyn. And she said, "I love squirrel. It's delicious." You said, "What happened?" I had better enjoyment sitting there watching that young eat squirrel than I did eating myself.
Man.
You said, "Preacher, I can't believe you eat squirrel." I'm going to tell you something. I sit over there in the woods and I pray for that squirrel. You said, "Why did you pray for a squirrel?" I promised my little girl that Daddy was going to provide a squirrel. You said, "Well, that was your own fault." Listen to me. I'm telling you, that youngin' had hooked up on Saturday night. She was going to eat squirrel. She never eat squirrel. Like I could have went and bought some chicken necks and gizzards and put them in a pot, scooped them up, and put them off and told them she'd been eating squirrel. And Rusty, I'd have lied to her. But I'm going to tell you, her daddy had told her, "I'm going to give you some squirrel." Honey, I'm going to tell you, I had to go to the Father and say, "Father, if it be your will, let me have some squirrel, because I don't want to lie to her. I done promised her that I'd give it to her. I'm glad I got a God in heaven that even on some of it was a squirrel. Honey, that he's able to provide the need of that hour."
The right.
Some of you would have turned your nose up at squirrel. But I'm going to tell you something. God gives them to me, and I'm thankful for, because they come from heaven. You say, "What happened?" That squirrel, you wouldn't have known the difference between you and chicken.
That's true.
You say, "I'm going to picture that little girl years from now that she eats squirrel. I hope years from now she's still thankful that God provides."
Amen.
You see, this morning, God provides us some stuff sometimes and we're just not thankful for.
Right.
Say, "Preacher, how many squirrels did you get?" "I got the race." You say, "How many is that?" "That's five." You say, "A five? Why did you want to shoot five?" "Because Daddy, five is grace."
Man.
And I pray for God's grace. And when God gives us grace, that's why I said, "That's it. We ain't hunting no more." You say, "Preacher, are you crazy? What are you asking for? What are you asking for?" You see, this morning, we ask for things that bring us glory. Honey, I tell you this morning, that supper last night was prepared from heaven. It was everything that God had provided. It was nothing that I had. It was what God had drawn and given us. And to sit down and eat, Brother Junior, I didn't do a thing. It was given from Him, and I'm thankful for it this morning.
Amen.
What are you asking for? This morning we'll be asking for something to give us glory. The Bible says, "Giveth to men all liberty out of the book of James, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith." Preacher, I've been praying about a long time. Do you believe me? Do you believe me? Preacher, I've got faith. Listen to me, I want to tell you this. I've got more than just faith and salvation. I've got going to church faith. I like what Brother Joe Arthur said. He said when his daddy got saved, he said he got going to church saved, quit drinking saved, he got delivered for God saved, preaching God saved. He said he even had saved and witnessing saved. Listen to me. I've got more than just salvation faith. I've got going to church faith, staying faithful, living faith. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, I've got faith that God can provide even in the midst of a desert. I've got faith that God will give us water when we need it. You say, "Preacher, what is faith?" Hebrews 11, verse number 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Preacher, I've got faith. You ever tell you how good some of our faith is? Some of our faith is when the gates of hell come against us. And some of our faith is so great that when the devil fires up simply in a car, when the devil fires up and simply in a marriage, that we'll throw our hands up and quit and walk away. I want to tell you something. That's not faith. You know what faith is? Faith is endurance. Faith is even, Miss Cody, in the midst of the adversary and even in the midst of rebuking an evil spirit. Faith is the one that will say, "I'll still serve Him. I'll still stay faithful." Faith is trusting Him even when we don't know there's a way that God will provide a way. Faith is even when the gates of hell are racking at your door and beating on your house. Faith is, "I'll stay with Jesus.
is trusting Him in the midst of the storm. The Bible says this in the book of Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 29. Then touched He their eyes, saying, according to your faith be unto you. There was two that was blind that was following Jesus, saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Heal us and give us our sight. Jesus responded to them after they followed Him. He touched their eyes and simply said this, according to your faith be unto you. Preacher, God answered my prayer. He said, according to your faith. He said, according to your faith. How far do you believe? How deep do you trust Him? You say, preacher, what do you mean? Do you trust Him every day? Do you say, instead of complaining about your job, God, I prayed for this job 20 years ago, and God, even though it's bad, even though they're doing me wrong, God, it's the job you gave me, and God, I'm going to give the employer the best that I can give, because God, it is what you have given me. When the gates of hell are beating on your door, instead of running and saying, I throw my hands up, it's not worth serving Him, is your faith the type of faith that'll say, I'll stay faithful, and though the ship is tattered, it is still sailing. Though the ship is taking water on, I'll still go forward. When you ask Him and you accept it and you're thankful for it, does your faith carry you through? How is your faith? I'll say this to you this morning. Our faith is weak. You say, why is that? Brother Junior, he told us if we have faith in the size of a mustard seed, we just say to this tree, be thou cast in the ocean. That's where we go. If faith the size of a mustard seed could do so great, how come we aren't conquering God? You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? Here's our issue. The reason we live defeated is because we fail to accept victory when it's given us. Preacher, what do you mean? We fail to accept victory. You realize this morning every one of us are victors? You realize this morning that you have already won the battle? Preacher, how have I won the battle? You don't understand. I'm 60 years old. Or Brother Junior, I'm 70 years old. It's a struggle day to day. Right? See, Jesus done conquered death, hell, and the grave.
That's right.
And if I'm in Him and He's in me and I'm His brother, I have already won through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Preacher, the devil's defeat me. You see, you're already victorious. How are you victorious? Jesus done defeated the devil. Well, preacher, what does that mean? I'm telling you this morning, it is not my will and not what I desire, but Brother Junior, it is through Him and through His glory and simply through faith, through Jesus Christ. Jesus told them, according to your faith, be done to you. When are you going to claim it? Now, this isn't a prosperity message, but the simple thought is God not able this morning? You agree with me that He has done great things. Do you agree with me?
Amen.
You agree this morning that He is able to do great things. Do you agree?
Amen.
You agree that He can do great things. And you agree that He will do great things. Well, let me ask you, do you believe it? The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17. Boy, I like this verse and we're going to go forward. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can we tell you why some of our faith struggles? Because we don't like to hear the Word of God. Well, that preacher, I disagreed with him on that. Well, I look at it differently. Well, this is what I interpret the Scripture saying. Can I say this to you this morning? Scripture is to be taken line upon line and precept upon precept. It is being taken literally at face value, exactly what it says, and nothing less and nothing more. Our problem is we want to pull a verse out of Deuteronomy. We want to pull a verse out of Peter. We want to pull a verse out of Hebrews and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We'll pull a verse from here to here. And what happens is we make our own biblical standpoints instead of taking the Bible at face value. You see, this morning, if we're going to hear, we got to come to church. You ever notice those who really grow in the Lord? Listen to me. Have you ever noticed those Brother Junior who seem like they have spiritual and they're always happy? You ever met anybody that's always happy? there, man, I mean, there, no matter what happens, you know what? I look at Jeff, and I just look at, and guess what? If you look at Jeff right now, he's just smiling. Scott, does he smile like that at work all the time? Most of the time. You know, there has been a day or two, Kyle, where I have seen Jeff pretty forked up. You know what I've seen forked up the most? You're not going to believe it. Burger King. Bill, he was about bent out of frame. You was pretty torqued up, wasn't
you? Well,
his back's been my favorite movie. But she had him pretty torqued up. You know what? I was pretty torqued up too, Jeff, when it took me 20 minutes to get a cheeseburger. It was terrible. Jeff went to Subway. I should have went with Jeff to Subway. He wasn't really torqued up. He was still smiling and laughing about it. We were picking about it. But you know what? The most of the time when I see Jeff, he's always smiling. And when I'm up here preaching, some days I just look back there at Jeff because he's smiling. And some of you don't know Jeff's story, but Jeff has every reason not to be smiling. I'm going to shoot straight with you. Jeff has, I'm going to be honest with you. I know Jeff personally, and he's confided in this, but Jeff has every reason not to be smiling. But you know what? Since I got introduced to Jeff, you know what I have seen? At every service that Jeff can make, he's here.
Yeah.
He's here. And every time I see Jeff, he has his Bible. And, you know, I may not go home with Jeff. I don't know what Jeff might do at home. He might go home and take a sledgehammer and stick it through the wall. I have no idea. But what I do know is the majority of the time Jeff's been happy. When I was preaching a revival down at West Elkin Baptist Church, Jeff was going through a struggle time. He was making a transition in his life that I hope I never have to experience. But you know what? Jeff just kept smiling. And there's others in here. Brother Bill Blackburn, every time I talk to him, he's done failed and he can't move his arm, but he's still smiling. And Miss Evelyn, she's always smiling. You say, preacher, why is that? Those people that stay faithful in the Word and stay faithful going to church, they just keep smiling. They say, you know what? It's got a better day coming. You know what? This may not be my heyday, and this may not be my time, but you know what? I'm going to make the best of what I've got, and I'm going to make the best out of this situation because God is still faithful, God is still giving, God is still God, and I'm going to be victorious. And this is just temporal. This isn't going to last forever, but God's will is higher than mine. Yeah. You see, those who are faithful to church are often the happiest. I'm going to give you some things this morning. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you reckon when God was talking to Jeremiah, Brother Junior, that he said, you know what, I don't know what I'm going to do? Or do you reckon God said, you know what, Jeremiah, if you'll just yoke up with me, if you'll just believe, if you'll just get a hold of it, if you'll just be willing to listen to me, I'm telling you this, if we'll just accept God's will, He'll take you for the trip in your life that you've never seen. I'll say this to you. As a young man in 2007, it's better. In 2007, that seems like so long ago. Brother Jim, in 2007, in August of that year, when I went down to an altar, and I surrendered to the call to preach at a little church up above Stone Mountain, I had no idea. By submitting my life, listen to me, that is the same year that I said, I'll never get married. Listen to me. Brother Junior, that's the same year that I said, you know what? It's too much trouble. It's all about me. Dan, I'm about to crash your ship again. I'm not driving that 18-wheeler. You sit in the passenger seat right now. I said, Jeff, I said, I'll never get married. Women are too much trouble. I ain't a doing it. I'm just going to stay single. If God wants me to go preach, so be it, I'll go preach. I go out to eat with friends. Miss Brittany and her mama made a lot of chicken stew. We weren't paid, but we was just friends. I'd go by there and I could sit and have fellowship with Brother Joy, Miss Brittany. I could go to another friend's house and sit down and enjoy. And I said, I ain't a getting married. It's too much effort. 2008, I met my wife. listen to me. In 2009, I started pastoring a church. And I even walked out the doors the next Sunday morning in June of 2009. And Brother John, I said, I don't want to preach that. I ain't going to pastor that. Them people are old. It's cold. It's dry. They don't even get along. I ain't doing it. 2011, I said, I'll do it. I got married. Listen to me. I said it a long time ago, I don't want kids. Listen to me. God knew my heart because He gave me two women. Got a little 2-year-old that runs the roost. She knows what everybody's supposed to be doing. She's got it figured out. I got a lovely wife. Brother Junior Tom, the church that I said I wasn't going to pastor, been here 9 years, wouldn't trade it for the world, seen God do some of the best things I've ever seen. Brother Odin, as a young man, when God touched my heart and said, this is where I want you to get married. When my wife said, I want to have kids, and the doctor said, you can't, and I said, God, I trust you. When I said, God, I trust you, we're on the tabernacle. And God, I said, I trust you with Mary. Hey, I'm glad that God put me on a trip. Hey, there's been some hardships along the way. There's been some struggles along the way. But when I said, God, I want your will, not our will, God has a higher plan in place. And honey, it's been a trip that I'll never forget. You know what? He supplied every need. Listen to me. Brother Junior, when I prayed for a piano player, I believe. When Brother Odin got a burden, and he'd stand up here, and he'd open up some Sunday school, and he'd say, you need to pray for a piano player. Listen to me. God had one working out on the other side.
Right.
Listen to me. When we got to praying that God would fill the pews, he started sending some people like Blake and Sherlina and Chuck and Beverly and James and Brittany. And Brittany asked me one day, she says, can you find me a good man? I was pastoring here. She said, do you got any good single men? And I'll never forget, I was preaching down at her daddy when he was pastoring an open door. And Brother James was going with me. And I said, James, I'm going to introduce you to this sweet little lady. And I think y'all hit it off because James had asked me on the other end. He said, do you have any good girls that you know about, preacher, that I could date? And I thought, man, this is going to be great. And I'll never forget that night. James is just James. He goes to everybody and anybody and says, hey, how are you? And I'll never forget. I told Brittany, I said, that's him. And she goes, that's him? I said, that's him. She said, there's something wrong with him. I said, what do you mean? She said, he's got a choo-choo tie on, and he shook everybody's hands. She said, honey, ain't something wrong with him. I said, no, ain't nothing wrong with him. You know what? She knew better than I asked again. She said, if that's what God wants me to have, I'll take it. And you know what? As far as I know, Jason, they've been a happy couple. And you know what she told me the other week? They were sitting at the house. She said, there's still something wrong with me. I said, but you're right, Daniel. She said, I know. You know what? When she asked God for a man, God gave her another little man. That's just like James comes. Through and through. You say, preacher, what do you mean? We better be careful what we're asking. Because it might be God's will. Brittany had no idea. Listen to me. Brittany had no idea that night she laid hold of James Fox, walking through Oakland North Missionary Baptist Church, going to everybody going, hey, there are you! And she said, there's something wrong with him. I ain't never seen a man that young going around and say, I said, it's just James. I said, James, I stood up for you, brother. I said, he's a good guy. I said, he just needs a good girl. You know what? God put it together.
Amen.
You know what God did? He put them back in our church. Amen. He gave us some friends. He gave it to somebody who was going to struggle just like me and my wife to have kids, to have friendships. And I'll never forget. I still, Brother Liv, I pray for him. And I thank God for James from Britain. But I can't get over that little fella and my daughter going home and him sitting in car seats holding hands. I like them, but I don't like them. But you know what? I'll say this, and I'll say this. I pray that little fella turns out to be what God wants him to be. And I pray he stays faithful to God. In fact, who God designed to marry my daughter in 25, 80 years from now. I pray that God honors that. I ain't got a thing wrong with that. I just pray that God's will be done in my wife and my daughter's life. And if that's the little fella that's supposed to marry her in years to come, and that's God's will, I say to God be the Lord. I say, why? Because I'm okay with this will. I'm okay saying, you know what, God, not my will, but thine be done. And God, I don't want nothing more in my life than what you want me to have. And God, I don't want to ask for something that's not according to your will. And God, if it's your will that we go through this storm, God, I pray that you give me grace to get through it on the other side. And God, I know you're able to do great things, but God, I just want your will to be done. You ever thought about just saying, God, your will. God's your will. And God, I want to be thankful for your will. You know what? Y'all don't understand this, and I can see Miss Joseph sitting over here testifying this morning that she's coming to the beginning for a few minutes to pray softly. She was sitting over here testifying. And I know what's went on. Some of you don't even have to look. I know what's happening. My heart's prayed for her. I read an email of her testimony the other day she sent to me. You know what? I'm praying for her. And I don't have to share with you everything, but when she was sitting over here testifying, you know what she was saying? God's your will. God, your will. God, I want you. I don't want anything else, anything less than you. But God, I want you. And I thought this morning as I was getting up to preach, I thought, God, you've got to help me in this. God, she's going through a storm. God, she's going through a valley. Some of you this morning are crying here. You're going through a storm. Dan, if you will, I'm going to let you come and play this morning if you'll come and play something. I want you to ask yourself this morning, when's the last time you said, God, I want your will. God, get me out of the way. God, get my thoughts out of the way. Get my wants out of the way. God, I want your will. God, I want your will. Hands done and play this morning. Why don't you just get up where you're at and you're tired of fighting. You just say, you know what, God, I want your will. Heads bowed, eyes closed, we stand with our feet all over.